So we're continuing on here in Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs 4. And again, there's two verses, but really we're going to look at more than two. So the two verses that we're focused on are 18 and 19. And let me read those and then we'll pray. So Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be here this evening. We just thank you for the fact that we can come and worship you and we can dig into your word. And we thank you especially on Wednesdays here right now for this book of Proverbs that you've given to us, the wisdom that is shared in it. We just ask that as we study it and as we teach and as we hear and learn, that each of us would grow closer to you as a result, and that we would see where we need correction, and that we would live according to the faith that we have in Christ. And Father, again, we're just thankful that we can all be here. We pray for your blessing over this time, and we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So, there's two verses here, which I'm sure we could probably spend enough time on, but I think it makes sense to look at the chapter from 1 through verse 19 to get the context and give it a better explanation, if you will. So I'm going to start with an overview. Solomon is continuing here in his instruction, and we've already heard that that's basically these first nine chapters, essentially, are instruction from Solomon. And it's interesting, you know, we talk about the contrast here in Proverbs and all the different contrasts. Well, the two verses, it starts with but. So a contrast word to start our passage. And the contrast, just in general, as you can see from the plain reading, there's the way of the just or the righteous, which is light, and there's the way of sin or the wicked one, which is darkness. And light and darkness is a theme in Scripture, light compared to darkness, light overcoming darkness. So there's a lot to be said here. We're not going to talk about all of it, obviously. It's a short devotional. We'll do things that are pertinent. It's good versus evil. It's the righteous versus the wicked. Again, like we've said, light versus dark. It's really biblical truth versus falsehood, and holiness versus sin. So I want to spend some time real quick here at the beginning, just in a couple New Testament passages, just to look at it. In 1 John, and you can turn there if you'd like. They're basically one or two verses, so it won't take that long to read and talk about. But 1 John 1, 4 and 5, and I'm sure everyone's familiar with the ones I'm going to turn to here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Is that what I... Nope. That was John 1, 4 and 5. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So right away we see light versus darkness. God is light. So God is light. And then, you know, he created light, Genesis 1, 3. So he created light. He is light. He's perfect. There's no darkness in him at all. We know that the scripture says the lamp of God is a light. The law of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our feet, and to our path. So now, if we turn to John, John chapter 1 and John chapter 8, I want to look at. John chapter 1, and again, familiar verses, verses 4 and 5. John 1, and this is talking about Christ. Obviously in 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So then if you drop down to verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the light of men is life. So light equals life. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the darkness can't overcome it. The light is greater than the darkness. And then again, in chapter 8, verse 12 of John, this is one of Jesus' I am statements when he says, I am the light. So in verse 12 of chapter 8, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So those who follow the light will not walk in darkness. And it talks about, you know, our passage talks about the way of the wicked versus the path of the righteous. They won't walk in the way of the wicked. If you believe in Christ, you will follow Christ, and you will walk in the way of light, not in the way of the wicked. And you will have the light of life. So you will possess the light of life. And then I won't turn to it, but in Romans 13, it talks about casting off the works of the darkness and putting on the armor of light. So again, for believers, that passage is for believers. This is for believers. So then it's clear that this is a contrast. And we know that because you know light and darkness is contrast. But believe it or not, I know you all believe it. We're seeing it now. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, one of the woes that Isaiah gives out is, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So even though there's a clear distinction between light and darkness, people are confused, right? And they're going to think that evil is good and good is evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? So woe to those people who do that. So we have a contrast and we have a clear definition of what light and darkness is and what it represents. Let's look at the first 13 chapters. It'll be a fairly quick overview, but just to get the context of what's being said here, let's look at the first 13 verses of Proverbs 4, and I'll break it down a couple verses at a time to start. So verses 1 and 2, Solomon again saying, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. So instruction begins then with good or sound doctrine, and we're called to not forsake it. I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. And when he says, I give it to you and don't forsake my law, he's talking about the word of God. In verses 3 and 4, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So this is being passed down from generation to generation, and it's the same instruction, do not let it go, keep it. And it is sound doctrine. And the result of it, at the end there of verse 4, keep my commandments and live. So it does produce eternal life. So now in verses 5 through 13, and really we'll start with 5 through 7, we see, and these are familiar, and I think Dean has quoted this from the pulpit many a time recently, get wisdom, so get or obtain, acquire wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. So get wisdom, get understanding. It says it twice in three verses. It starts in verse 5, ends in verse 7, with the same command to get that wisdom. So the wisdom is the thing we need, the understanding. And it says to value it. So value it greatly, and you will be rewarded. So then, now getting a little closer here to what we're going to talk about in 18 and 19, we're going to see specifically in verses 11 and 12, but I'll read 8 through 12 right now, and then we'll talk about what it's saying here. So it continues to talk about wisdom. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So now he's back to hear my son and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. So that's the reward. Verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. So we've heard that already a lot in the first few chapters. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. Get wisdom. I have led you in right paths. And then, so what happens if you're led in a right path? When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. So being led in a right path and following that right path, you don't stumble. You won't be hindered. Well, if you look down at the two verses that we're focused on this evening, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. So that doesn't say anything really about a path, but the next one does. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the way causes them to stumble. It says they do not know what makes them stumble. So they're stumbling. So the way of darkness that the wicked follow, or the way of the wicked, which is like darkness, that they follow, is going to cause stumbling. In verse 11 and 12 here, I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So then it says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. So there's another contrast. So then we get down to verse 13. Now, we've already heard a couple times, get wisdom, get understanding. Therefore, in, you know, get wisdom in all your understanding, or in all your getting, get understanding. In verse 13, it says, take firm hold of instruction, do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. So now we're to keep or to guard that instruction, that wisdom, that understanding. So we get it, we keep it, and we hold it. And it's going to cause us to be on the right path and not be on the path that's going to lead to destruction. So now in verses 14 through 17, he kind of gives a caution and the reasons for the caution. So it's a little warning. Let's read 14 through 17. The command or the caution is, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. So I have to add this side note. And if anyone is from Columbus or likes Columbus, this has nothing to do with Columbus. We just used it as an example. When the kids were little, we were trying to explain to them about going down a road and even starting on that trip. And we just used Columbus. Don't go to Columbus. So that became, for a little while, a little joke. Hey, don't go to Columbus. So I don't, you know, we don't really want to watch the Buckeyes anyway. But the point being, everybody thought, you know, like that was the reminder. Don't go there. Don't even start down the path. And that's what he's going to say here. So it says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. That's pretty clear. I mean, there's no, it's black and white. It's a clear command. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. So in a sense here, it's the same, it's really the same command that we've already heard in verse 11 and 12, or same idea. You know, I've taught you in the way of wisdom. Now this is the negative. So if I've taught you in the way of wisdom, don't go down the opposite. Don't go down that path of the wicked. So we are to walk in the path of wisdom and uprightness. We don't, and it says don't even enter the path. So obviously, and we'll turn to Psalm 1 in a minute. I mean, I always think when I see stuff like this, do not enter the path of the wicked. So that's the first step. You enter it. Then it says, do not walk in the way of evil. So now it's talking about walking down that path. So it's like a progression. And whenever I see progression, I mean, it's hard not to go to Psalm 1, right? And think about Psalm 1. And in this case, for sure, Psalm 1 definitely applies. So we should always be mindful of it. And, you know, this is the idea. Don't even flirt with it. You know, temptation and sin, once you begin, it's harder to stop. It's harder to get out of it once you start. So this is saying to not even do it. So if we go, let's go back to Psalm 1. I'm just going to read it and talk a little bit about it. We're all familiar with it. I'd like to say I'm just going to stand here and quote it to you, but I'm not. So I'm going to read it. And again, this is you know, obedience to God's word out of faith, showing at the end prosperity in righteousness, and then seeing that the wicked can't even stand in the judgment. So in the first three verses, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he doesn't walk on this way of the wicked. He's walking on the other path, the path of the righteous. And blessed is he who doesn't walk in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the only way to avoid that path and to go down the path or the way of righteousness is God's word. We have to be in God's word, and we have to delight in it. We have to meditate in it. And here's a comparison in verses 3 and 4. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So it's strong, it's productive. Verse 4 is the opposite. The ungodly are not, and I always, those of you who have been here long enough, I don't remember the year, but the kids in the Christmas play once did this. And when they got to this part, they yelled it out. The wicked are not so. I just always remember that. And so the wicked are the opposite. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. So they're not planted. The wind will blow them away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. So that's the picture. They're going to get blown away. They're not going to stand in the judgment. And then interestingly here, this kind of fits in with what we're going to look at next in Proverbs. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. So the way of the righteous is known by the Lord. But what happens to the other? The way of the ungodly, the way of the wicked, the way of the evil ones. They shall perish. So we have the warning not to go down the path. You know, it tells us don't enter it, don't walk in it, back in Proverbs. And then again, that clear avoid it, do not travel on it, turn away from it, pass on by. So, I mean, that's pretty clear. Just stay as far away from it as possible. It's imminent danger. We have to decide that we're going to detest it and we're going to decline it. And we also shouldn't think that we can't get too far away. We need to pass on by and just get away from it. So we need to get as far away from it as possible. So why? Right? That's the question. He's telling us to avoid it. Well, why? Well, like we said back in Psalm 1, verse 6, that way is going to perish. That's one good reason. We don't want to perish. We don't want to be apart from God for eternity. But verses 16 and 17, a couple more reasons maybe here. For they, being the wicked, do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So they don't sleep, they're violent, they're angry. That's not the path you want to be on. That doesn't sound very fun. And it leads to destruction, as we just said. So it's interesting here. We see the sin, right? They don't sleep unless they've done evil. Sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall, and they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. All those are sinful things. But notice the hold it has on them. They're slaves to it. They can't even go to sleep unless they've sinned. And that, I thought about that. I mean, that sounds so counterintuitive. Well, I can't rest until I make someone be miserable. I mean, that sounds like, I would be miserable if I made someone miserable. I wouldn't be able to sleep. So, and there is that contrast. If you look at, actually, Proverbs 3, might be on the adjacent page. It isn't mine. Verses 21 through 24, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. And that's wisdom and understanding. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. So again, a contrast. You're going to have sweet sleep if you're walking on the right path. You're not going to be, whatever the way these evil men are, and they have to cause someone misery to sleep. And it's all consuming. If you see back in our passage in verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They have to consume it, but then they're consumed by it, right? That's the ultimate end. And it's violent. I mean, the wine of violence. So then we don't have to turn to Job, but in Job 15, when Eliphaz is talking, he describes sinful men as those who drink injustice like water. So they drink injustice like water. I mean, if you think about when you're thirsty and you need some water and you take as much as you can and take it down quick and take a lot of it, that's how they drink injustice. And in Psalm 14:4, it states that the evildoer eats up my people as they eat bread. So again, bread, you know, I like bread. I'm sure a lot of people like bread. Especially you go to a nice restaurant, you go, you sit, you want as much of that bread as you can, even if it ruins your appetite for the meal. But they eat up the people like they eat bread. So now we get to verses 18 and 19. We get to the contrast. So he's been talking about the wicked here, about how they need to do evil to sleep. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So in 1 John, we're called to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so now we have that walk in the light, that path that's talking about the path of the righteous is like the shining sun. So I thought about Matthew 7. I want to read Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, just the comparison of the narrow way, the narrow and the broad way. So Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So it's a difficult path to take. That narrow gate, that way or that path of righteousness. It's difficult and not many people will be on it. And back in our passage, look at how it describes that path. It's like the shining sun. So it's light, right? It's like the shining sun. But not only like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter to the perfect day. So when the sun comes up, it's pretty bright. And it keeps going, and then it's at its apex, and it's in the middle of the sky. Everything is bright. It's hot. It's warm. That's what's happening here as we walk. As we walk in our life as believers, this path will shine ever brighter until the perfect day, until we're perfected. And it tells us in Scripture, we're walking in the light until we shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. So that's the ultimate when we go to glory and we're with our Father. So then the contrast to that, which we've already talked about the wicked, but here again in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. And I think some of it say deep darkness. So this is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So we've said it. They are stumbling because it says they don't know what makes them stumble. So they must be stumbling. So there's a warning, remember, back in 14 and 15, not to walk in that path, and not to walk in the path of the wicked or the way of the evil. And we're called to avoid it. And we avoid it because of the stumbling. So they stumble. They don't know why. Jesus tells us in John 11, and this is more of his ministry, but still, those who work during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. So the wicked don't see the light of this world. They're in deep darkness, and that's why they're stumbling. So I wanted to close back in Proverbs 1. I was thinking back to when we started the study in Proverbs. I think this passage, we went from like 7 through 9 and then over to verse 20. So, and I didn't do this intentionally. I thought about it after, but I want to close with verses 10 through 19. And it's very similar to what we have here. And I don't want to talk a lot about it, but just to read it and reinforce it. So here we are in verse 10 of chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. So he's warning them, there's going to be people who are going to entice you to sin. So it's not just the sin that entices, it's the sinners who are going to entice as well. And they're going to probably have very enticing motives and ways to do it. But he instructs them here in verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. So again, same instruction. Keep your foot from their path. Don't walk with them. Don't go in their way, because their way is going to lead to death. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And here's their end, their destruction. This is what the wicked will do if they don't repent. They lie in wait for their own blood. So they think they're lying in wait to trap others and to get others, do harm to others. But they're actually laying in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So in the end, their attempted trappings of others leads to their own end and destruction. And that's the way of the wicked. So just to close, I mean, you know, obviously we don't want to follow that way of the wicked. And if you're a believer, you won't. You'll be following the path of the righteous or the just. And, you know, we just need to pray and be diligent and to stay on that path. So that's all I have. Any comments or questions? Otherwise, I'll pass out the prayer sheets here.